You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Episode 3 of what we are now calling Thumbtacks and Screwjobs, because, you know, it's really hard to find a podcast name that has not been taken. It's basically impossible at this point in this universe, so apologies to the guys from Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. Apologies to the guys from Heel Heat. See, I've got so used to the name already, I'm getting confused. So some rebranding, but it's still me, Richard.
And this is Gene.
Talking about all the wrestling stuff. And, you know, I've got to start with, I don't know what could be the most fascinating insight into how the biggest wrestling corporation in the world works. And that is Cody Rhodes quitting. Not merely quitting, but telling everybody why he quit.
Oh, yes.
And then doing one of the coolest things I think I've seen anybody do since they left wrestling. But you read the letter.
The list?
But you read the letter.
It was pretty heart-wrenching about the guy that's so passionate about the business, not just the business, but the company he works for, and wanting to help them succeed, wanting to drop a gimmick that had, for all intents and purposes, gotten stale.
Well, it wasn't even that it got stale. It had been so sabotaged by the writing and the booking, because how do you go through all that period of turning Cody into Stardust, go through all that time of building up this feud with Goldust that the crowd was hot for? That was one of the best feuds they had.
And you don't pay it off.
They didn't pull the trigger. How did they not pull the trigger on that?
Stardust versus Goldust at WrestleMania
would have been money. That would have been money. You know, you take one of them out of the costume. You know, and just whichever one it is, you do that. You know, clearly he wanted to dump Stardust. They wouldn't let him. He obviously went with a lot of suggestions. I mean, everybody goes to the booking team and the writers with suggestions, but for him to say, look, I'd go to the senior writers and they'd pretend they were on their laptops and they weren't even turned off.
Yeah, which,
that was a real hammer blow.
Exactly. Royal dick move, but being devil's advocate, honestly, we use terms like writing staff, writing team. We all know who ultimately makes these decisions, so I honestly think it was Vince wanting to continue with it and the writing staff just having to, you know, go along with it.
Well, and then, of course, in a truly classy move, Cody puts out this wish list of people that he wants to fight, you know, now, because his no-compete is up on August 19th.
Yes, 19th.
And his list is Adam Cole, Dalton Castle, Bowler, Kurt Angle, Chris Hero, who, you know, he would have fought if they hadn't botched and terminated his NXT contract, because they're idiots. Moose, the Young Bucks, Trevor Lee, Roderick Strong. He wants his own personal ring announcer, which is clearly going to be Brandy, because she is now quit, because she's like, I'm going with my husband.
Yes.
And the great thing is, he's already confirmed Kurt Angle versus Cody Rhodes.
That Evolve?
Up in the Northeast Wrestling.
Oh,
that's not Evolve.
Okay.
No, Evolve is Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett,
Michael Bennett with Maria versus Cody Rhodes with Brandi Rhodes.
Okay.
I mean, these are all money. Like, he has become, I think, not only by quitting, by asking for his release when they clearly did not know what to do with him. Not only that, but he came out and just became the hottest free agent by saying, I want to fight these guys. Just work out a way for me to do this. And what's really fascinating, and I think shows that the door is open for a lot of stuff, is that he's you know, he's doing this with Gabe Sapolsky at Evolve. Well, Gabe has a really good relationship with Triple H. And in fact, you know, they basically said Evolve is a path into the WWE, exactly. Or at least into NXT. It's where you can get talent spotted. They've done some of the Cruiserweight Eliminators. You know, there's some weird politics going on here, because Gabe wasn't going to book him if he was going to piss everybody off at WWE, because Gabe needs that relationship.
Exactly.
So I'm like, this is kind of awesome. I'm so happy for him, because he's... How good would you say he is?
Cody is one of the best workers and character, for lack of a better term, character actors in the business. I had my concerns, because when all the options were on the table, do we honestly see him doing a stint in New Japan or Ring of Honor? I personally felt that I didn't see that would play to his strengths.
I don't know. I think New Japan, because he is a guy that can go out and do any gimmick, he basically works strong style anyway.
Yes.
You know, that's... Which means now we've got the disappointment that we're not going to see him up against Shinsuke Nakamura.
No.
Although I'm saying within 2 years he is back, because somebody at WWE is going to go, look at who we lost. And there's also interesting rumors that they're starting to talk to Kurt Angle again.
Oh,
which, you know...
I thought that bridge was burned about 2-3 years ago, but...
They didn't want him then, but I think, I don't know, there comes a certain point where it's stupid to not have Kurt back in some role.
Maybe
not wrestling, because even he seems to be going like, you know what, my body's giving out. I need to stop doing this.
Maybe a general manager role or something.
Oh, you know? Him GMing
SmackDown
would be fabulous.
Because I honestly feel we're going to get to that in a moment as far as the brand split. SmackDown is highly likely going to be the workhorse brand, where we'll see those matches that would play to the strength of Kurt Angle being an overseer of...
Yeah. I mean, so. Like, you know, having him and American Alpha...
Although, before
we move on to Extreme Rules, I've got to say, I watched this week... NXT, still on a perpetual roll. That is a show that can do no wrong. They've been in this weird position that... Yeah, they're clearly going to bring a lot of people with the brand split. We all know this. I'm expecting
they have to fill up a roster space. So.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is, I was looking over the roster, and there's almost nobody who's getting TV who isn't getting TV time.
Exactly.
At the moment, they got everybody out there. You know, there's a few people who are coming back with injuries, and you know they're going to have to work out a way to do. To split up some feuds, because the six guys they've got in the Intercontinental chase at the moment, that's just overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to have to get separate feuds. But they don't have much meat on the main roster anymore. And you've got all these guys down in NXT. And I'm sure
that... Samoa Joe's ready to be called.
Samoa Joe's been ready for
Finn Balor's been ready forever and a day. Bayley... It's deplorable that Bayley's even still... No knock to NXT, which is one of my favorite shows each week. But Bayley should have been called up long ago.
Asuka should have been up there. I mean, they've been hurt a little bit, I think, by Emma getting injured, which is sort of like, God damn it. You know?
The injury bug is...
Okay, I have a theory about the injury bug. I don't think there is an injury bug. I think they're finally taking injuries seriously. That's what I believe. And I think, you know, 10 years ago, you would have just been told...
Seen them
just
back
like,
on TV.
You just work through it. I mean, like, I don't think we're going to see... I think a lot of this comes back to Triple H. I don't think we're going to see the number of people dying in their 40s that we see from the Attitude Era. Because if you're Triple H, you know, you wake up, you know what you did to your body. You know that your legs are basically stapled on. You've got to sit there and go, huh, I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I out-strategized everybody on becoming, marrying the boss's daughter, but I got lucky. And
he worked a style that was conducive to a longer ring career.
Yeah, but you've got that, you know, now, so I think you're going to see some changes in style that are inevitable. But I also think, you know...
The schedule, honestly, though, still working against them. When you're 310 days a year on the road, working 4, 5, 6 nights a week.
I suspect the brand split will drop down dramatically.
People will probably be working 2 to 3 nights per week instead of 5 or 6, which should decrease the chances of these
entities. I mean,
they should.
They should. Hopefully so.
Hopefully.
NXT just on a roll. And this week, I was like, oh, God. They're putting the revival out there, and they're going to have them in a promo with Ciampa and...
Jeez.
Oh, what's his face? And it was awesome. It was phenomenal. I'm like, these are two guys, I don't know. I have no evidence to suggest that they've got any promo skills. The big knock against the revival is that they don't have promo skills. Holy hell. Who's been coaching these guys? Because you didn't coach them better in the ring.
They are true heels, something that the main roster lacks big time. So here's hoping that they do get the call-up. And when they do, don't botch it like they did with the Vaudevillains. Vaudevillains got no sort of... There should have been vignettes leading up to their debut on the main roster for at least 3 to 6 months.
How do you...
They just brought them up. No fanfare or anything. And expect that audience to... Vince sometimes thinks automatically anyone that watches NXT watches the main show and vice versa.
Yeah.
No, that is not the case. Most of the WWE audience... How do I say this kindly? Doesn't appreciate good wrestling, so they probably don't watch NXT.
Well, I think the thing is that you've got this weird situation. There are a handful of people that everybody knows, which is almost an aberration, and they are the aberrations. And you can't bring up you can't expect the Vaudevillains and have the same pop that you have when you bring up Enzo and Cass. Enzo and Cass are just money.
They're tailor-made for the main roster.
Yeah. Whereas the Vaudevillains need a little bit more time, a little bit more interest. You do them right, and they are so over. Because, again, it's these guys who are just hit you.
And it's a niche gimmick, so I really think some more TLC could have been given.
I think they're still salvageable.
You know, it's not too late.
Because English is great on the mic. Simon Gotch, my
God's gotten way better.
By the way, have you noticed he is the only person on the roster with thighs the same size as Big E?
Oh yeah,
he is a strong motherfucker. Yeah. Nobody's realizing it.
They're not utilizing that in his matches.
They need to.
They really need
his. Just power lift ability is up there with the best of them. My hope is that they don't just give up on them. My other hope is that they don't split them up, because I think they're so good together.
Yeah, they are.
And I think, you know, but yeah, that the revival this week was just like, you guys can fucking do this.
It's like watching the Andersons. It's like watching any classic,
which is what they always wanted to do. And I'm wondering who took them to one side and says, "This is what you've gotta get right."
Yeah.
And I love the whole thing. Like, whoever put this bit of it together, them going to Gargano and Ciampa, and saying, "Well, you're a couple of good hands," which is the thing that gets thrown at them all the time. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that is a beautifully self-aware moment of a promo. But, you know, they're guys who I'm thinking, like, this close to being ready to call up. I don't know if they're quite there yet.
I think put them with the manager.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Paulie, what his schedule is like. I think, well, he's great on the mic. I don't know if he would fit that group.
Yeah.
Michael Hayes doesn't do any on-screen stuff anymore.
Yeah, no, he would be wrong for them. He'd probably come out and say something inadvertently racist as well.
Yeah.
No, I give them 6 months, and I really want to see them up against Anderson Gallows.
Do you think maybe one of two people would transition to manager role, either the Miz?
Oh, God. But anything that gets him out of the ring.
Exactly.
Anything that gets him out of the ring. I'm so tired of seeing that guy deliver.
His matches are exactly the same every single week.
Well, and you've got the particular problem now that he's
Yeah, they put him in the three in a fatal four way with three
of the best guys in the business.
So he sticks out like a sore thumb.
And he's competent, but I'm sorry, 15 years. You need to be more than competent. 15 years with multiple title runs. You need to be one of the best out there. And the problem is that they keep putting him in this position of like, oh, you'll get cheap heat. It's like, yeah, you get cheap heat, but
he's not Ric Flair.
When you've got, Owens versus Zayn, you don't need cheap heat. People are just, that's a fight in the open. People just want to sit there and watch them fight until the end of time. And you don't need Doofus McDoofpants and his annoying wife coming in and delivering substandard promos and then him rolling out of the ring for, 90% of a match, coming back in, getting a cheap pin. And nobody needs the Miz to acknowledge that his finisher is a schoolboy, but that's what it is at this point, and I'm tired of it. I'm sure he's a nice guy, although apparently, have you ever heard CM Punk? He was asked about the Miz.
I've heard Punk go like talk about everyone on the roster except for the Miz.
Oh, it's hilarious. He basically says that he's the world's neediest human being.
Oh wow!
Like he just so desperately wants to be loved. And I'm like, this is a guy who started off. I'll give the Miz this. He has worked incredibly hard to become okay.
You could tell in his interviews. They keep him around because he says all the right things.
Oh, yeah.
All the corporate buzzwords and catchphrases. He's a good little soldier.
Yeah.
He's not Cena, but he's a good runner-up.
He's
for doing what the company wants.
If Heat was still going, he'd be their Cena. That's an old school reference for you folks.
Oh, wow. Is it sad that that's old school?
When did Heat go out? Heat was cancelled in like 2004, maybe earlier than that. Didn't they? Actually, they may have killed it to make way for ECW. I can't remember.
I think you're correct.
Yeah,
I think you're correct.
ECW, we don't talk about that.
That's been rebranded so many times. Heat, Superstars, Main Event.
Oh, yeah, by the way, major gripe. Sasha Banks comes back. She's on Main Event. Are they idiots at this point? I mean, okay.
The whole point of keeping her off TV, two points. A, keep her injury free for this run up to SummerSlam, which I'm assuming is going to be her moment.
Yeah.
Keep her injury free and, to make sure that she's fresh in the audience's minds when she comes back. Don't bring her back and just trug her along in these BS storylines or BS matches that don't mean anything.
How long before she's in a feud with... Oh, question for you. Okay. Rosa Mendez, still on the roster or not?
Who knows at this point?
Actually still on the roster. She still has a contract. I don't know why. Maybe they re-signed her so recently that the buyout on her contract would have been too much.
I don't understand. Like, once again, she's probably a nice person, but I thought the Revolution also was unspoken rule of cleaning house.
Yeah, well, it clearly wasn't. Let's get to that point where, we just out of... one big pay-per-view, we're into the... Well, pay-per-view, what do we even call them anymore? Special events.
Monthly events.
Thing that you do on a Sunday.
Network exclusive.
Yeah, we're about to go into NXT The End, which we'll talk about in a bit. Extreme Rules, which it's always hilarious because you're basically not allowed to bleed anymore, which was the whole point of Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules and pay-per-views of the like in the modern era just... They've been, in my eyes, just wholly unnecessary. Why even do a pay-per-view themed event like this, or themed event like this when it's PG?
Yeah.
You can't, there are a lot of things you can't do. Hell, if anyone bleeds, they might wind up with a Batista-level $100,000 fine.
Yeah. Or they, almost get, get Brooklyn, not Brooklyn. Where was it where Joe bled And, you know, I don't think he even realized he was bleeding.
And that wasn't even, I honestly don't even think that was planned. I think he just got busted open.
Oh, no, it wasn't planned. That was just, it just happens. You know, those guys have always got so much scar tissue. You hit them right at the wrong angle and somebody's going to bleed.
And NXT guys can't afford a $100,000 fine.
I don't know. I don't think Joe is on a low contract.
Oh, no.
He's on a good contract. I think the other guys, you know. And I don't know how much they offered Nakamura, but he ain't on, you know, room and board in Orlando and sharing a room with Hideo Itami. Okay, but Extreme Rules. When we started off with Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler, which now has become kind of this weird low mid card feud. It's like a number two on the main show feud. It's like completely baffling.
That was the pre match.
That was in the pre-show. Like, did anybody watch that or care? Jesus, I mean,
I honestly did not have any emotional resonance one way or another. Didn't love it, didn't hate it. It just happened. Yeah, it happened.
And the fact, and it's, you know, that the it means nothing to have Baron Corbin beat your highest paid jobber
over and over and over again.
Here's the really weird thing. A while ago, somebody released some numbers of how much every wrestler is paid. Ziggler's like the number four guy in the company.
Wow.
Which is why I was really shocked. He has a big, big contract.
I did not know
and
that.
His merch sells well. People love Dolph Ziggler, and they have no idea. They haven't had a single clue what to do with this guy.
The last time I saw those stats, those numbers, was about a year and a half ago, and I was shocked that Ryback was one of the top paid guys.
Who?
On the Ryback.
Who? Who? I've heard of this guy.
The guy that they kept feeding more. And
was he related to Skip Sheffield? I love the fact that, you know, he bitches about everything, and, you know, they're clearly just letting him run his contract out. Screw you. And what's really fascinating is nobody cares. I think I'm the first person to have said his name since the Payback pre-show. That man is done. Just toast. Okay, but then we kicked off with just awesome match. The club, Machine Gun KA. Yeah. Oh, I do miss his New Japan Machine Gun entrance. I miss that. I really
so
do. And Luke Gallows, who, holy shit, how good did he get while he was away? Just better by the day. Beat the tar out of the Usos.
Yeah, the Usos opened up with a flurry. I mean, they clearly were building momentum, trying to get the Usos over early on, but by about the 3-minute mark, man, utter dominance.
Well, that's the thing. That's what you've got to do with them. The club can never look weak. And, I mean, let's talk about this now, because let's talk about them in a bit, but the fact that they are clearly pushing them as the big thing, and lining them up as the guys who can take out anybody and can do it in. And the interesting thing, like, traditionally we've had heel teams in recent years who have to cheat outside of the ring to win. They cheat outside of the ring and then can still beat the shit out of you. They're a heel team
pretty
booked
much
strong. When was the last time we had one of those? I can't remember that.
Shield.
Yeah. But even the Shield was like, it was always a numbers game.
Yeah.
And there was always three of them. And, you know, my perennial problem of how they botched Roman Reigns from day one. This is a guy that this is supposed to be the strong guy, the indefatigable guy who needed his friends to help him do a power bomb. I'm like, dude, that does not make Roman look strong.
No. Nor does the fact that everyone went on to get new music, new ring gear, and
they just modify him, but he still gets to wear body armor, which makes him look like, oh, why are you wearing body armor? Yeah, whenever he gets a chair shot, which he took a load of in the main event, I'm like, yeah, but you are wearing a flak jacket. Yeah, it'll sting, but it's not going to be as bad as, you know, when AJ Styles takes.
You're looking for logic.
Oh, I know.
When it comes to WWE,
I'm looking for logic. But yeah, that was a great match. Rusev killing Kalisto.
I knew it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to be Rusev that would take the belt back, but I knew someone was going to beat the living tar out of Callisto and...
Well, they've tried to make Callisto into the new Rey. It's not worked.
It didn't
He's
work.
Popular, but Rey was lightning in a bottle.
And
Plus, Rey had, like, 10 years before he got to the WWE. I mean, he was much more seasoned.
He wasn't... Rey wasn't the greatest microphone worker, but he was damn good.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like a deer in headlights.
Was it Rey that had the... I think it was Rey who famously... They never let him have the mic again in WCW after the infamous... you looked like you haven't had pussy since pussy had you. And he was... I think at that moment they went, no, you're not allowed... And that was like... At the point where WCW was like, oh, you guys really need to.
Oh, was that 99, 2000 WCW?
Yeah, I think they were just like, oh, is anybody actually running the show? What was interesting, I missed this until the guys over at Figure 4 Online pointed this out. In isolation, this is a great match. You know, it's really good fun. You've got Callisto bouncing around, you know, doing everything he can to get the odd strike in and invade Rusev, you know, who's just tromping around going, I will catch you eventually. And when Rusev finally gets him, Rusev kills him. Rusev just breaks him in half with this new kind of stretch version of the Accolade, which just looks like it's going to snap your spine.
I didn't think Callisto was going to be able to walk again.
Well, here's the problem. The previous Monday, Callisto had the shit beaten out of him by Rusev. He totally no-sold the fact that he was completely destroyed on Monday. And I was like, I was listening to Figure 4 Online, and was like, oh, shit, you guys are completely right on this. And that's, you know, it's the problem with 50-50 booking, is that everybody has to be in a fit state to win the next week.
Yeah, like, no one carries over injuries. No one goes on streaks.
Yeah.
There's
no valiant struggling babyface either. And Callisto needed to be the valiant struggling babyface who like tries to get up on the top rope, but his legs give out.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know,
the David and Goliath archetype that Vince loves going to that well so often with, it only works when the babyface looks like it's insurmountable odds. When the babyface is running on all gears.
And you compare this to, you know, Ray versus Big Show in the stretcher match, where Big Show actually
put him on the
stretcher and waffled him against it, and then it didn't actually hurt him with the with hitting against the ring post.
It was him.
He dropped him face first, and you can see Show just go, "I've killed Ray. Who's going to drive with me now? He's the only person I can share a car with because he's so tiny." And it's like, but this was, Rusev back on. Back looking how Rusev has to look. Rusev's a killer. I have so much faith in this guy's ability to go right to the top.
It's just...
Particularly...
A lot of people have lost faith, and I think it can be salvaged. I think once he hit that John Cena ceiling, he's not quite... And had that loss, he's not quite been the same monster that he used to be. And then with Lana...
There's a path. There is a path. I don't know what the path is, but, you know, him and Lana are just such a perfect combination. You just need to get him in the right feud again. I don't know who that feud is. Honestly, is he the guy that you put up against, you know, Jesus, Reigns. Put him up against Reigns. totally different styles. You know, have him be the guy that no-sells the Superman punch. Which everybody says they don't know, you know, there's no-selling stuff. Sorry, everything gets no-sold. Every finisher gets kicked out of.
Yeah.
They have protected the Superman punch way more than, like, not 100%, but way more than anything else. Okay. Which annoys the hell out of me, because it's like, it's a setup punch. Come on.
It's a mediocre setup move at that.
Does everybody have a glass jaw now? Well, that could be where the injuries are coming from. Then we had...
The Vogue villains versus...
Getting the tar beaten out of them again by
the New Day.
And it was Big E and Xavier Woods. The only thing they did right in this match was having Xavier deliver that kind of running baseball knee slide as his finisher. Yeah. Because they haven't put him over as a wrestler at all, which is a huge mistake. They basically made him look like a manager. And they finally got, oh no, we probably need to make him look good. The unfortunate side effect to that is I'm really terrified with the brand split, they're going to break the New Day up. that one of them is going to go to another.
They even mentioned that.
Which is so...
Was it Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
Yeah, where the New Day come out and interrupt the announcement of the brand split and say, oh, the weird thing about this was they had such a good build-up with this feud. Even though, like we said, they needed to build up the Vaude villains more. You have the Vaude villains accidentally almost kill Enzo, who, yay, back. Then you have that amazing, stupid as Hades, but it worked. Vaude villains and their time machine.
That time machine.
Which should not have worked.
It was such
they can sell anything.
It was such an Edging Christian type gimmick, and
like Edging Christian, they can make it work. They can make anything
any
work.
Crappy
do not mess
idea
with
or gimmick that comes forth from creative, they can make turn into gold.
And then they blow it off in a 6-minute match, which was just a hideous decision. Then, you know, for me, the real
one of the best fatal four ways that I've seen in a long time.
The Miz, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn for the IC, barring the stupid ending, which was stupid. You've got three of the best guys on the planet, all now over their injuries, all really wanting to prove something. You tease the Cesaro swing and then you give him the Cesaro swing. You have Kevin Owens looking like a monster, which is just absolutely what he should be.
And
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn's aggressiveness coming out has been fun to watch. And anytime everyone else clears out the ring and it's just Zayn and Owens, the crowd. This is what has been missing from wrestling. A feud. I hate you, you hate me. This is not a Cirque du Soleil sideshow. This is a fight.
This is the fight that will never end.
And this
until
is
until the day where those two hold the tag belts together. One day they're going to put the tag belts on those.
It's
going to
happen.
And my suspicion is we're going to be in a situation like the very, very brief Jericho Benoit run where they were tagging, and you're just like, these are two guys who don't necessarily have the best, like each other, don't necessarily, get along too well, but my God, you put them in the ring, they're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And they were, racking up belts left and right, and were the, until everything went to hell there, the legitimate threat to take out heel Stone Cold, which was the only good thing about that run, was those two being together and Triple H tag teaming. And you're like, although funny story, did you ever see the it was the UK only pay-per-view that they did during the Triple H Stone Cold tag team era.
Oh.
And it is hilarious because the main event was them versus Undertaker in a handicap match. And at one point, Taker is on the ropes and Stone Cold turns around and does his running knee to the back of the head. And the only thing was his knee brace catches Taker's ear.
Oh, damn.
And, it looked nasty. It looked like, he was really close. He didn't pull his ear off. And Taker stood up. And I've never seen anybody look that legitimately angry in the ring. And it is the only time I've ever seen Stone Cold Steve Austin look like, oh, fuck, I'm going to get my ass kicked. He looked terrified. Because he was like, if Mark doesn't calm down, he's just going to beat the shit out of me. And I know how hard he hits when he's just working. He's going to kill me, and I really pretty much deserve it because I botched that. Mm-hmm. And you can see Triple H in the corner going, oh, shit. Mark's going to kill us. And you can see, Taker just kind of, get it all under control. And, that man's internal metronome just goes tick, tick, tick. Tick, back down, calm down. Amazing. But yeah, that was... But yeah, but this fatal four, let's be honest. The Miz added nothing.
Honestly, it would have been better as a triple threat.
Yeah, which probably means that they're going to find... Which now has led to this weird thing of them and you throw Alberto Del Rio into the mix, all fighting.
Honestly, I take it back. had you replaced The Miz with Del Rio, that... Oh, that could have been so
He's on form these days. I mean, he knows it. I think he knows he's never going to be a top guy, so he's just trying to do the best matches he can.
And the problem is, Del Rio's capable of being that. Whenever he's in any other promotion other than WWE, phenomenal. Could be top guy any roster. Creative and booking always finds a way. WWE creative and booking finds a way to just make him look that much less like a superstar with each and every match.
Whereas, you know, and it's so weird that's where they seem to be going. And he's just becoming like, oh, he's an okay hand. Maybe they're trying to, like, drop him down so much that you kind of just start appreciating him as a wrestler rather than, you know, all the Del Rio stuff we've had in the past. Yeah. And then you build him back up again. Maybe I'm just being... I thought that about Ziggler for the longest time.
Yeah, I felt that way with the League of Nations, honestly.
That was a disaster. There was no way that was going to work.
But the thing is, all of those guys at one point were top nasty heels that... I don't know what happened.
They made them look like clowns. They didn't let them win. Or if they won, the matches weren't important ones. But, you know. Okay, the weird match of the card. The blow-off to the Dean Ambrose-Chris Jericho feud. Am I the only person that liked this match?
I was okay with it at first. I made the mistake of going back and watching the show again. This match signified everything that's wrong with doing hardcore matches, cage matches, any of these type of matches in the PG era.
Okay, you got that basic problem, but I think they did the best match that you can do, knowing that you are really not allowed to make anybody bleed anymore. And I love the fact that in a wonderful homage to Perry Saturn, Ambrose goes up and gets the mop first. And everybody was like, "Oh, why wouldn't you go get the barbed wire?" Because if I hit you with an actual high quality mop handle, fucker hurts. Probably hurts more than getting hit with a piece of 2x4. I was like, no, I'd go for that, honestly.
Well, and
the fact that he said, you know, because he's Ambrose, you know, stealing a note from old school Jericho, mopping Jericho with the nasty mop water, and I'm like, I love that.
It was great. Yeah,
it's the best you can do. Knowing that you're not allowed to do what it is that you're supposed to do in a cage match. What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. It's just, honestly, I mean, we all know the curtain's been pulled back. No one buys into it anymore. But that doesn't mean kayfabe goes out the window. And logic, when you have these weapons X, Y, and Z that will pretty much end the match, then you have weapons A, B, and C that are there for comedic value. It's not the fact that he used it. It's the fact that they were even in the ring.
I went through, you know, we both lived through the entire Hardcore Championship 24/7 rule where people were getting hit with random aluminum baking pans, which apparently are just everywhere.
Yeah, ECW, the Bring Your Weapons matches where the fans would bring stuff. One guy had a plastic oar and whoever he was hitting was sold it like he got hit by...
The famous fake leg. No, I mean, look at it. As you pointed out, it completely undercuts everything that you're supposed to be able to do, but I think in the circumstances, they did the best match that they could.
Yeah, it's just that whole feud turned into a comedy feud with the jacket thing. Like, I understand why it... And, yeah, Stone Cold did the beer truck. He dumped cement into McMahon's mixer, but it was a wrestler versus... The boss. It wasn't two wrestlers doing that. When it's two wrestlers doing stuff like that...
Hey, how does Little Nate still have his job? Like, the great question about professional wrestling. Like, this is a guy who clearly screwed people over in a match. And, like, just because Ric Flair asked him to.
Could we have at least gotten one backstage segment with Rick and Shane or Rick and Vince about that whole debacle, but That means storyline continuity, which they're not.
Speaking of Ric Flair, oh my god, why is Charlotte still champ? Why is Charlotte has become like The Miz? I mean, she is way more talented than The Miz, straight off the bat.
More talented than he will ever be.
But she, they pointed out on the show, she's done more pay-per-views in a row than pretty much anybody else on the roster. And she's won every single pay-per-view match she's been in, whether it's a tag team or... why is Charlotte the one they're pushing so hard? And, her match with Natalya here was really good, but did lead to the worst, most annoying moment on a pay-per-view in months. More annoying than a blood-free cage match. Who the hell is pushing Dana Brooke so hard? What the hell? 2 weeks ago, she was supposed to be Emma's friend. She's not that good. And now you bring her up as Charlotte's enforcer?
Dana Brooke, I honestly... No, and this is no offense. Look at her. She fits everything that Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn love.
Yeah.
And honestly... She's okay. She's not a horrible ring worker. But even if she was a horrible ring worker, she would still get the push.
Yeah.
Because look at her.
Yeah.
And until Stephanie and Triple H can finally get Vince out the door, because I'll put money on it. As soon as Vince is gone, Kevin Dunn, within a few weeks, will be gone well. Once they're gone...
14 of the 28 writers...
At least. I honestly would say two-thirds of the writers gone.
Yeah. Jim Cornette comes up for comes back because, I think he'd work with Triple H. I don't think he'd work with Vince.
No, agree. He would never work with... I don't know. Triple H also is of the mindset of don't let grudges ruin business, and Cornette's one of those guys that if you screw me over, if you screw this company over, you're not coming back. Him and his little verbal feud with Kenny King.
With everybody. I do love Jim Cornette, but he
needs to chill.
I don't think he cares. I think if somebody came back to him with the right money and the right reasons and the right creative control, I think he'd be perfectly happy, but I don't. He wants to be a booker. He doesn't want to be a writer.
Exactly.
And it's such a completely different job, and I don't know if that job really exists anymore outside of
actual
indies.
True bookers.
A guy who's got that kind of big long term plan for where everybody's going and how all the bits fit together and who will make money and who will draw.
Oh, there's no long term planning right now in WWE.
Well, I think the plan is to get them to the brand split. Which probably is, it probably explains what I'm saying now. If they weren't going to do the brand split, AJ Styles would have won the main event.
Agreed. Honestly, I'm excited for the brand split. I think they should have held off one more month and did it the week after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That first Tuesday night after SummerSlam. Could call it your season premiere, quote.
Very weird that they're July doing it for SummerSlam.
Yeah. It would add even more to SummerSlam.
Well, unless what they're doing here is... Because I've got to say, Reigns versus Styles in an Extreme Rules match, which it was basically a street fight. Oh, by the way, the funny thing about the Ambrose and Jericho, the Raw before when they had the street match... When they had the street fight.
Yeah. Okay.
And Jericho turned up and he was wearing his boots and jeans. God bless him. That was the most awesome thing I think I've seen in years.
And the fact you can see the lifts even more pronounced when he's wearing jeans.
I gotta say,
than his normal ring gear.
I really wish he'd go back to the tights. I think Jericho, I don't like him in shorts. He doesn't look right in shorts. I want Jericho back in tights.
Yeah, it's not that he looks horrible, it's just him in tights worked.
He was a tights guy.
Yeah, he was.
Kurt Angle is a singlet guy.
Yeah, Triple H is a shorts guy.
Yeah. 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 John Cena is inexplicably
jean shorts. Yes.
Oh, my God. When he came back on Monday, I mean, the thing is, Roman Reigns versus Styles, phenomenal match. Also brings back the guy that I am most excited to have back, which is Seth Rollins. Who looks great. I know he was worried about his... By the way, they did totally fuck up. Here's how they fucked up. Seth Rollins comes back. You don't know if he's a heel. You don't know if he's a face. You just know that he's come back and lays waste to Roman Reigns. And you're like, hell's yeah. Here's the list of people I want to see you fight. Here's the feud I want to see you go straight into. I want to see you back in contention. Then, Monday rolls around. He comes out, delivers an amazing promo. Because he comes out to a total face pop, because everybody is super psyched to see him back. Within 3 minutes, he is being booed out of the building because he's basically like, I don't need you guys. I'm me. I'm the best there is. Screw you. You're all just hangers-on. I'm awesome. Got booed to hell and back. Monster heel already in 3 minutes. Then they do the WWE 24 straight after, going, here's what he went through, here's what the injury was, here's the everything.
Timing.
And it's like, you put him back over as a baby face, you numbnuts. What were you thinking?
This is one of those cases where I agree with Jim Cornette. Them pulling the curtain back with a lot of these network shows, it's doing damage to the main show of Raw and SmackDown.
I think you can do it. I think you just got to be smarter about
with
it.
With who you focus on in those network shows.
Yeah, and I think, which is the... Breaking Ground has been phenomenal and hasn't hurt anybody. And in fact has really put a bunch of people over. I love Mojo Rawley. I don't care who knows. I love that man.
He's such
a complete goof, and it's this wonderful... He only works in the context of him and Zack Ryder, because the idea of Zack Ryder going, I'm too old to go out every night, and Mojo going, ah, come on! It's awesome! Let's go dance! You're like, and he goes, okay, just not past midnight. It's like, and then he wakes up and he's... why were we out till 3 and why do I smell of lilac? What the hell happened last night? I love that dynamic and it works so well for both of them.
Great.
We go into Raw and we have the confirmation of the rumors that have been going for ages about the brand split. Do you think it's a good idea?
I wrote a column for this this past Friday for thescrumsports.com. There are so many things. Firstly, it alleviates some headaches right now. The Shane, Stephanie, passive aggressive. We're working well together, but we're going to keep bickering about what's best for business. Put them on separate shows.
Who gets Raw? Who gets SmackDown?
Steph's been such a mainstay of Raw for the past 2 to 3 years. I honestly think she needs to go to SmackDown and Shane needs to stay on Raw.
I think it will go the other way around because rather famously as
Triple H.
As CM Punk told JBL the only reason that he was the WWE champion for so long was because Triple H doesn't want to work Tuesdays. I suspect
with Cena likely working SmackDown on Tuesdays.
Honestly, they need to not have them front and center. I think they actually just need to have them running the shows. I'm tired of them. We don't need... The wrestler versus manager and the versus owner thing is so done. There is nothing left to say.
Oh, yeah. It's been so since 1997 and they're still at it. But
that is the story.
I think it's still going to occur because they would not have brought Shane back unless they were going to do Shane.
I think you could at least have him just go, turn up and, be close to what William Regal does. I think William Regal as GM on NXT is absolutely what you want that part to be.
It's perfect.
And he's so good in that role. I think Ebony needs to sit back and go, yeah, that's what he needs to be. The guy who pulls people apart, who says you need to behave yourselves.
Enforce the rules.
And he's scary enough.
Exactly.
My God.
He's a baby face, but he's a baby face that isn't to be fucked with.
His run with Ambrose before Ambrose got taken up, where you're just like, these are two guys who really can work mean, and it's perfect, and I want to see you guys fight.
Oh, yeah, but back to the brand split. There are so many benefits to this, like decreasing the likelihood of injuries, decreasing the likelihood of burnout by forcing certain people down our throats. I won't name names.
Big match, John.
Looks strong. Yeah, seeing Cena only once a week versus twice a week. Reigns once versus twice. Whenever Orton comes back, only once versus twice. Even the guys that are, for all intents and purposes, jobbers, like, Ziggler's a great hand, but seeing him being made to look like a complete geek, twice a week, hopefully it doesn't hurt him as bad once a week. Same with the Wyatts, who it won't remind us that much that WWE completely failed them creatively.
I think this is the interesting thing, because they clearly... There were a bunch of people who did not turn up at Extreme Rules that I thought were going to be there. Even just do a run-in to do something. So there were a bunch of people who were being held off for either the draft or they just turn up at SummerSlam. SummerSlam, I think, has the potential to be really interesting because of the brand split, because I think you're going to see... That's where the feuds are going to start.
Exactly.
It's going to... I think they need to restore the credibility of SummerSlam.
SummerSlam and Survivor Series, I don't... When you say Big Four, it's now Big Two, because SummerSlam seems to be the soft show that's only there to bring celebrities in, and nothing important story-wise has happened in quite a while. Survivor Series... That's another thing that I think will help, that the brand split will help. The Survivor Series Raw versus SmackDown match, I think, elevated that pay-per-view. Not a whole lot, but it made that... The 5-on-5 match hadn't mattered in the longest of times.
Yeah.
But it being brand versus brand...
Yes. Yeah. They got to also. I think they need to bring back King of the Ring as something serious as well.
Yes, completely.
I'm with you 100%. I think that the brand split is the perfect thing to happen. I think it's overdue. I think they've got so much. I think the problem at the moment is, like I said, they're using everybody they've got on the main roster. You know, people are turning up and like, wow, you're here again, and they're jobbing them out because they don't have a feud for them. They don't have an angle for them, which, yeah, with all that number of writers. So you need space for them to breathe, but at the same time, you've got this top rank of guys down in NXT who need to come up now.
Exactly.
And you are wasting time and you are leaving money on the table by leaving them down there. So you bring them up somehow, and you make them selling points. My God, you've proven that Finn Balor is the biggest guy not on the main roster. You've also got
over.
The other thing is you've got to get them up onto the main roster now, so you can make space for the guys for the returning guys down on the NXT roster, and give some room for people lower down. And the fact that they're building up people like Gargano and Ciampa. Proves that they're going, oh, and No Way Jose, which, people seem to love.
Ty Dillinger.
Oh, my God, the perfect 10.
This dude is...
So good.
It's a travesty how good he is. I think he should be in main event of NXT. Some people don't agree.
They're wrong.
I think he's ready. I think
fun thing that's happened at the moment is the perfect sense idea of putting Tyler Breeze and Fandango together, because A, they're both ridiculously good. The fact that Tyler Breeze is the guy who you went, let's get one of the most legendary figures in the history of Japanese wrestling. He's going to come to the WWE and do one match ever. Let's put it with Tyler Breeze because he wants to work with Tyler Breeze. Tells you everything about how good this guy is. And I wish they actually would dump the Fandango gimmick and make him go back to creepy Johnny Curtis. creepy, does this cloth smell of chloroform, Johnny Curtis? Just bring that guy back. You know, and have them be just like the creepy guys that hit on everyone at a party. I want to see that combination because I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah, I'm so excited, though, with this brand split. Probably the biggest like plus for me, SmackDown going live on Tuesdays means it really feels like they're trying with the... And it being on the same network as Raw, it's not going to be the redheaded stepchild TV show anymore. SmackDown, Since the move this year, it's felt more and more. I've gone on record saying I enjoy SmackDown more than I enjoy Raw. 2 hours versus 3 hours, easy sell for me. You have probably the greatest wrestling announcer of the past 5 to 10 years, Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, he's so good.
My one concern with it going live is that Vince and Kevin Dunn are going to be at the shows now, producing the talent, producing the commentators.
Yeah.
So we're now going to have Mauro with forced lines and selling, you know, trying to hawk whatever crap that they're trying to sell. And him and he's breathed new life into the show. Lawler has been the best he's been in a decade. I just hope the commentary doesn't get ruined when once they go live. But
yeah,
the brand split is a great thing.
Okay, and yeah, let's move on to some briefly before we wrap up to our regular what the hell's happening in TNA.
It hurts. I want that promotion to do good.
It's so weird because they've got so much talent, and sometimes the matches are actually really good. I mean, you know, they've given Drew Galloway the space to be as good as everybody knows he is, and he's turning in stellar matches. At the same time, we got to talk about it. We have to talk about the most bizarre video segment in the history of the world.
God.
If you haven't seen it, please go online and look up Matt and Jeff Hardy's contract signing. Because what TNA has no idea what to do apart from go, let's have Matt and Jeff feud again.
It seems like
Matt, who is now officially doing Sweeney Todd cosplay.
I was going to say drunk, dazed, and confused Vampiro, but
oh my god, this actually may be the worst video package they've done since Ken Anderson and Bully Ray in a church.
Honestly,
where Bully Ray seemingly had hidden some some nice towels in a coffin for Ken Anderson, and nobody understood what was going on. It was completely baffling.
Is Vince Russo writing again?
No, I think the problem remains that they've still got the same producer that they've had for years, who is the guy who just. I got annoyed at Extreme Rules when they completely botched catching the Seth Rollins run-in, because you could tell something was happening, because the crowd all goes, oh, yes, oh, yeah, Roman Reigns is celebrating in the ring. And then everybody goes, what? And looks up the ramp. So you know something's happening. And rather than doing the sensible thing of going, oh, look, there's Seth Rollins, and catching him running down the ramp, which clearly everybody in the arena had, the cameraman's going, oh, there's Roman Reigns still. And it's the repetition of when it's exactly the same thing that happened when AJ Styles was introduced.
They had
Reigns looking confused, and you just hear this music you've never heard before, rather than doing the sensible thing, which is concentrate on the greatest free agent in the industry suddenly appearing at the promotion where you're like, oh, I hope it happens, and I hope they give him the right push. This is the same damn
production thing across the board, not just
stop
WWE
with the zooms. Stop with the crash zooms.
TNA. Honestly, Ring of Honor stated that they've increased their production budget. I'm still not seeing it. I honestly still don't see.
I think they spent a lot of money going over to Japan. Was probably when they, yeah, so a lot of it was that. I think that's I've heard that their pay-per-view quality is getting higher, but like I don't think it's being reflected in the TV stuff.
Ring of Honor doesn't have many flaws. That's one of the only ones, and it sticks out like a sore thumb. Ring of Honor needs some better production value ASAP.
They need somebody to drop some money into just that, and I think they need Sinclair to just go, look, we're in enough markets now, you're on enough channels, we've got enough local showing, because it actually shows here locally. It shows in Austin, which is
Friday
great,
and Saturday nights,
which I'm really, really happy about. Weirdly, TNA actually set a record viewership viewing figures.
This past week?
No, the week before.
Oh.
For Pop, like, it was their best numbers ever. It was like 360,000. It dropped this week, but they did really weirdly well.
I'm trying to think what match was booked on that show. Was that EC3 versus Matt Hardy?
I think it might have been. EC3, God, that guy's so much better than he has any right to be.
I was not big on him at first. He has improved by leaps and bounds. Honestly, if they had the kind of marketing and, you know, ability to promote the way that WWE has, I could see him being their John Cena.
Yeah. Okay, so just look forward, and we'll probably actually we should meet up pretty soon just to talk about specifically about this. We got NXT The End, which is not the end of NXT. Like,
come to God.
Yeah, because people got panicked because the NXT Brooklyn show during SummerSlam, apparently the tickets went offline.
Oh, yeah.
And actually what happened was that they're rebranding it and changing some of the publicity, and it was like, the tickets are back on sale. So everybody was like, are they going to do something stupid? It's like, no. So they're clearly, there's something is going to happen. Five matches on the card so far. Andrade Cien Almas versus Ty Dillinger. Poor Ty, he's losing this so badly. You know, you aren't bringing this guy in and not having him go over.
Yeah.
American Alpha versus The Revival. I think this is going to be ugly and brilliant. I think The Revival may take. What's your take?
I don't know if they're going to bring up American Alpha anytime soon, because they have enough babyface tag teams up on the main roster. Revival, I can see it happening within the next 3 to 4 months.
I think here you need to back and forth the belt between those guys a little bit, because American Alpha, I think, them going, look, we're that good, and Revival going, no, we're both that good. I think this is one of those rare times where 50-50ing, well, not exactly 50-50ing, but this being super competitive, particularly on the belts.
There are certain instances where I'm fine. Rock thrived with 50-50 booking. Yeah. There's many, many cases of it. Edge and Christian Hardy boys, I was fine with 50-50.
Well, in fact, if you remember, when you go back and really look at what happened for the longest time, it was them 50-50. And then it was Hardy's and Dudley's 50-50. And then you bought ENC back. Them, everybody forgets, them winning the original TLC was a shock to everybody. Nobody thought they were going to win it. They were the absolute outsiders. That was perfect booking, because that pushed them up to the
exactly. I remember even Matt Hardy versus MVP in the early 2000s on SmackDown. Their 50-50 booking. That was one of the best feuds on the show.
Yep. Asuka versus Nia Jax. For the championship, they're idiots if they put the belt on Nia Jax.
Yeah.
The only reason they take the belt off is if they are putting Asuka straight up to the main roster.
Which I don't think is happening soon. She needs to hold the belt a little bit longer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think she needs another 6 months and then bring her up.
Exactly.
But she needs to be on the main roster. Her and Bayley need to be on the main roster by next WrestleMania, you're wasting all the potential. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Austin Aries, which is just going to be...
Oh, God, that match is going to be freaking awesome.
That's just going to be off the charts. I don't care who wins.
I really don't care. I think it's going to be another Nakamura Sami Zayn where they're going to beat the holy hell out of each other.
Yeah, and I love Shinsuke's promos, because they've realized the guy speaks English but has limited English when it comes to cutting a promo, which is such a different skill. So they're just giving him these completely weird, enigmatic, like, kind of promos, which work for
him. They work for him.
You've got this beautiful situation that, now also it means you've got Kathy, the new backstage interviewer on NXT, who can't stop grinning. She is clearly just really happy to be there. She is a massive wonk.
Yeah, she's the polar opposite of the emotionless robot formerly known as JoJo. What are your thoughts?
She's just like, so! And she clearly loves this job.
Yeah.
They need to give her a different... Because she always has her hair up in the same very distinctive way. So actually, it looks like she just went in one day and shot all her promos one day. It just seems really weird. Like, yeah. And I don't notice hairstyles, but even now I'm not like, she always got her hair exactly the same way. I mean, it's very nice, but it's like, did she just... Did they just put in there Shinsuke and he comes up and says something weird and they wander off and like, just edit the question in later. And then Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor in a steel cage match. I know. Hush, child. For the NXT Championship. Does Finn get it back or does Finn go up to the... Or is the... Does something... Ah, I know what's going to happen. I'm saying it now. And of course, now I'm going to be proven to be completely wrong. Hideo Itami. This is when Hideo comes back.
That could be the case. I honestly don't have a clue because I had no idea they were going to pull the trigger with what they did with AJ this week. I truly thought that they were going to keep going with the AJ and club rivalry starting to brew, and then they would finally make amends, only for them to attack AJ and then Finn Balor join them. So Balor Club versus AJ, and that was flushed down the toilet this week.
I have no idea what. I think this is the good thing about if you split the brands up, and that splits the writing room up a bit. I think you're going to have less of those internal contradictions. I think you're going to have a little bit more consistency about okay, what happened last week, rather than SmackDown contradicting Raw. I hope. I know that's terribly optimistic of me, but yeah.
I'm oddly optimistic with this brand split. WWE has not given me reason in the past 4 or 5 years to be optimistic, but I don't know. I have a good feeling.
Yep. Well, that's plenty to be going on with. Apologies again for the last episode being so delayed. That was my fault for all technical issues. We're back on schedule now. Thanks again. Keep tuning back in. You can follow more of Gene's work over at
SmartCountry@oneofus.net and also at thescrumsports.com.
And you can catch me occasionally on The Breakfast Pub, pretty regularly on Digital Noise, Highly Suspect Reviews, and also my regular work at austinchronicle.com. And you can also find a big archive of my work over at rmwhitaker.com. That's rmwhitaker.com. Well, time for us to tap out. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.